The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. We are going to get to the Lakers-Nets. I know, hey, no Anthony Davis, no Kevin Durant. Stephen A. was right about the storyline going into this game. This is Kyrie coming at LeBron James's head. We're going to get into it, but there's only one place to start today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Philadelphia has agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts.
Last year with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, they had a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense.
They're legit Super Bowl contenders for this coming season.
Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts. Adam Schefter on Twitter. Philadelphia has agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for the 2021 third-round pick and a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first-round pick, league sources tell at Mort Report and me. Anyway, let me just say this. The fact that they got a second-round pick at any point, and it could turn into a first-round pick, and I'm not sure how that could turn into a first-round pick. Someone will explain it to me. But the fact that they got a second-round pick at all, a third-round pick this year, is amazing to me for Carson Wentz. And I know the cap is supposed to go up and all that, and his per annum hit doesn't look so bad under those circumstances. Doesn't look so bad for a franchise quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback right now. He's not a starting quarterback right now. Look, the two teams that were interested in Carson Wentz, it's no coincidence, were the Bears and the Colts. Why? Because DeFilippo, the passing game coordinator, was the quarterback's coach for Carson Wentz in Philly when he was really good. Because Carson Wentz, not that long ago, was really, really good. And, of course, Frank Reich was a coach on that same staff with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, who's now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Those are the two who thought, hey, I can get in there and fix this guy from the ground up or from the head down. Because that's what it's going to take for Carson Wentz. This is a full-on reclamation project. Wentz, at one time in 2017, is the best third-down quarterback in the league. Had a great arm, really tough, excellent leader, the whole thing. It fell apart piece by piece after that. Maybe it started with Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, and he felt a certain kind of way about that. But even the next season, he couldn't lead the Eagles to anything. They were dead in the water. Foles took over. They caught fire, made the playoffs, and won a playoff game on the road. Almost won another playoff game on the road. That wasn't with Wentz. That was with Foles. And progressively, he's gotten worse since then. 2 years ago, second half of the season, I pointed out to everyone, game over game over game. Wait, he's not. Everyone's saying he's good? What? He's playing the NFC East? And that was full of backup quarterbacks and rookies that year, and they all did better against those same NFC East opponents around the same time that Carson Wentz did. He was terrible. He got worse and worse and worse. Everyone was saying, no, you're great, you're great, you're great. He was believing it. You should have listened to me back then. He would have fixed himself or worked on himself, and it got worse and worse this year until everyone acknowledged he's the worst quarterback in football who starts. And then he wasn't a starter anymore. And then even then, did he take it like a man? Did he take it like a leader? No. He started pouting and whining and leaking to the press. Carson Wentz, if he has no interest in being a backup. If he can't start, he wants a trade. Yeah, really, Sherlock? Who has interest in being a backup? Who's a starter already? No one's interested in anything. Trubisky was interested in being a backup? Wasn't interested in it? But he took it. And he learned from it. And he came back better as a result. And he supported his teammate. He didn't undermine the team. He didn't leak to the press all his whining the day that his backup, Jalen Hurts, in this case for Wentz, was starting for making his first pro start. No, Wentz became a locker room problem and bad for chemistry. I mean, listen, let me give him his credit. He's tough as nails. Carson Wentz is a tough guy. He's got talent, but he is all messed up. Everything from his mechanics to his decision-making to his internal clock to his awareness. Everything's all messed up. This is a full-on reclamation project. Now, where should he go? He's gone to the best place. Carson Wentz has gone to the best possible place for him in Indianapolis. Well, what are their receivers like? They're okay, but they are not elite. The main thing is this. Chicago has no offensive line. You know why they have no running game? They can't block for the run. You know why they need Trubisky? They can't have Nick Foles stand in the pocket. There's no time to stand in the pocket. The line's collapsing constantly. They can't block for the pass. Can't protect for the passer. Protect the passer. Is English my first language? It is, but sometimes I wonder. Anyway, the point is this. No offensive line for an injury-prone quarterback who's had a catastrophic injury in Carson Wentz is not good. And that's the Bears. That's not the Colts. Colts are ready to win. They just need a franchise quarterback. Carson Wentz ain't Andrew Luck. Great teammate and leader and talented and a winner. He ain't Peyton Manning. One of the most surgical precisions, one of those precise surgeons, something, one of those descriptions, whoever lived, carve you right up, great decision maker. He ain't those things. You know what he does have in Indianapolis, though? Ooh, does he have an offensive line? Quentin Nelson, what was he, taken sixth in that draft a couple years ago? It's a great draft pick. I mean, everyone knew he was going to be good, but my God. Quentin Nelson is, I have to say, Fanica, a couple other guys. If someone said, who's the greatest interior offensive lineman you've ever seen? And by that, I don't mean center. They have other responsibilities. But like the greatest offensive lineman who were guards that I've ever seen, Quentin Nelson is top mind. He is on. It's like there's a force field around him on the field. And he really anchors that offensive line, which is very good. So you have the coach who can maybe rebuild you. You have the offensive line. You're a very well-balanced team. Wentz is in the perfect situation. He is in the perfect situation. Why did they give up a second and a third for him? A second, a conditional first? Why would you give that up? Think of it needs to all be perfect for Wentz, and still you don't know if it's going to be any good. He hasn't moved around the same since the injury, by the way. Tough guy, as I said, but his movement looks more labored to me. And by the way, he went from the best quarterback in the league third down in 2017. He was the worst quarterback in the league on third down. The money down. He was the worst. So he wasn't clutch. He wasn't smart. He didn't make good decisions. He wasn't a good leader, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they got a haul for him, in my opinion. I don't want to hear, oh, they didn't get necessarily a first-round pick. The fact that you get anywhere near a first-round pick for this guy is a coup. If it sounds like I'm against Carson Wentz, I didn't start out that way. I just really don't like the way. I mean, I thought he was regressing. But I really don't like the way he behaved on the way out of Philly. You don't undermine your team, especially when your backup is making his pro debut. What did Jalen Hurts ever do to anyone? Anyway, he's traded to Indianapolis, Carson Wentz. And look, they didn't get even a second-round pick this year. You know, now I told you why they overpaid the Colts. On the other hand, those who were thinking that they were going to get multiple firsts, they did not get even a second-round pick this season. They have a third-rounder for him this year. And next year, they have a conditional second-rounder, which could turn into a first somehow. I don't know. You say abracadabra or something. I don't know. If I were Indianapolis, were I the Colts, and I got to take that cap hit too? I know the Eagles have to take cap hit, but tough. The Colts aren't obligated to take them. If I were the Colts, I think I would need, in order to take on the Wentz project and contract, I need a fourth-round pick to take him. If the Eagles are like, we'll give you Carson Wentz, what are you going to give us? I would say, give me a fourth-rounder, and I'll take Wentz and see if I can fix him. Because there is a lot of fixing to do. And we're going to get into the whole Carson Wentz saga behind the scenes with Joe Santoloquito, the man who really broke this story in Philadelphia originally. And it's a very interesting story, the way all that went down. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Here's Adam Schefter breaking down the trade, then we're going to talk to Joe.
The Colts and the Eagles were in discussions for the last 3 weeks. I think really from the day after Jared Goff got traded from Los Angeles to Detroit and Matthew Stafford went from Detroit to Los Angeles. The talks heated up at that moment and really have been going on for 19 straight days. And they were at the brink of the deal the whole time, but it was only until today that the Eagles finally signed off on the agreement that will send a third-round pick this year to Philadelphia and a conditional second-round pick next year that could become a first-round pick in return to the Eagles from the Colts. Each side gets what it wants, right? Carson Wentz wanted out of Philadelphia, did not want to be back there. The Colts wanted Carson Wentz to work with Frank Reich, their head coach, who was his former offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Frank Reich is a Carson Wentz believer.
I understand why the Eagles, like, it shows you how delusional the Eagles have been about Wentz, giving him all the power in the organization when he didn't deserve it, enabling him and actually really having a hand in his demise and his regression. And in fact, it's just like a kid, man. You enable the kid, you think you're giving them what they want, but in fact, you're undermining them. You're undermining their ability to develop, and you're hindering them. And so I get it. The Stafford trade, I said, wow, Stafford's team-friendly deal, which had something to do with it, and Goff's not-so-team-friendly deal. In order to exchange those two quarterbacks, you got two firsts? It takes two firsts to turn Goff into Stafford? Whoa, we're going to get something for Wentz. With the Eagles, that's why the Eagles took so long to bench him. They're delusional about him. Wentz is not Stafford. Joe Santoloquito, feature writer for Philly Voice and president of the Boxers Writers Association of America, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Joe, you're the guy who originally broke the story that all was not so well in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. First of all, welcome to the show. Joe, what happened when you broke that story?
Thank you, Max. Well, all hell broke loose. People in this city, both media and fans, were not willing to accept it, did not want to accept it. And a lot of things happened. It reached the point where I was getting death threats and my home got vandalized. So I knew I had something very strong on my side, and that was the truth. Mm-hmm. And I can reveal this now nationally, and I can reveal this now to you. You knew the truth because I played some of the tapes to you when this first was coming up.
Yeah, by the way, if people are wondering, how did I, like, when I said, uh-oh, things are, something's wrong in Philly, it's not just like Joe called me and I was like, well, Carson Wentz is great. Uh-oh, no, it's not so great. I was noticing a regression. I was saying so publicly. Joe noticed this. And when we were talking, he gave me some, he showed me some stuff that made me realize what I was seeing on TV when I watched Carson Wentz play wasn't based on nothing. Go ahead. Tell him what you showed me, Joe.
Well, basically, he wasn't what he was in 2017. People were expecting him to come back and bounce back to be some semblance of himself. The numbers were there. I believe his numbers were actually very good during the 2018 season, but the Eagles were faltering as a team. They weren't winning. But what was also happening, there was a lot of little things that were taking place, a lot of little things that had creeped up. He was holding on to the ball too long. His eye level had changed and adjusted. And suddenly, that confidence, that definitive attitude that he had, suddenly had dissipated. And he was all over the place. It was creating a little bit of friction within the locker room. They felt, at least statistically, it doesn't prove it out, but at least players themselves felt that here he's not checking down the way he should. He keeps on using his security blanket, Zach Ertz, who's a very, very good player, is an exceptional tight end, but he keeps on looking at him constantly where he's not looking up the field the way he should have to see other players that were also open. And the flip side of this is that Wentz himself not having the faith and confidence to throw into those tight windows to those other receivers and people peeling out of the backfield. It was creating problems on the offensive line that where, you know, these plays seem to be working. Where's your vision? Where's your, you know, what are you looking at? What do you see? What ghost are you seeing right now that we're not seeing? I mean, what's going on here? So it starts to build up. And if you remember that 2018 season, they lost a very pivotal game Sunday night, national TV against the Cowboys. And they looked like they were cooked. It looked like they were done. And what started actually everything for me was when I had walked out, as I was describing to you privately and publicly, I'm walking out with a whole position group, literally a whole position group. And I just, you know, I made just what I thought at the time was a very innocuous comment. You know what? Mike Groh's really messing this up. Mike Groh was at the time was the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. And I said, Joe, it's not Groh. It's Wentz. I said, what? And I really couldn't understand it then. And then through time, I was fed a little bit more and fed a little bit more. And then finally, I go to my editors at Philly Voice and say, guys, I think there's something here. I think there's something here that we're not really tapping into. And it's not just on the field. It looks like there's some things that are going on off the field as well with this guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was it wasn't like what we were seeing as Wentz regressed in the second half of 2019, where everyone said, oh, he's in the MVP conversation. They made the playoffs. But in fact, he was really not good. And he was turning the ball over on third down in the fourth quarter. And they were lucky to recover the ball. And he was playing awful NFC East teams. And every team he beat was beaten by some other quarterback in the NFC East, either a rookie or a backup, more convincingly than they were beaten by Wentz. But still, people were singing his praises. And I think he had a lot of power in the organization, it seems to me, and it didn't do him any favors. The Eagles didn't do him any favors by so empowering him. Joe, what is the reaction?
Exactly, Max. Yeah, some of the guys worded it to me, and these are people. These are some people that are higher up above the playing level. He has the line of the backfield, and he has far more power than at the time Peterson, and Joe. He may even have more power than Roseman. And this was told to me again. This story was written 2 years ago, January 21st, 2019. It was told to me then, if he wanted to, and this just said to me in passing, Joe, if he wanted to, he could probably get Peterson and Roseman fired. And we're talking about the Super Bowl winning head coach, the only Super Bowl winning head coach in franchise history. And we're also talking about the only Super Bowl winning GM in franchise history.
Talking to Joe Santoliquido, feature writer for the Philly Voice, also president of the Boxing Writers Association of America. Joe and I go back, decades at this point. Joe joins us on the Goodyear hotline, at least since like 98 or 99. I guess it really is decades now, Joe. All right. What's the reaction in Philly today? He has been traded. What are you hearing?
Join the streets. It went from here's a beloved guy. And I got to step back for a second. I think everything that happened today is good for both Carson Wentz and both good for the Eagles organization. Again, I did a follow-up piece that appeared Monday, February 8th of this year, last Monday. It reached a point of impossibility that he could come back. Guys on the team got angry at the fact that he was asking for a trade. He never came out publicly and denied that he was looking for a trade that was broken on ESPN by Shefty and those guys. Never denied it publicly. That seemed to bother guys. Well, what's he doing? He's checking out on us. And not only checking out on us, in a way, is he checking out on himself running from an open quarterback competition with Jalen Hurts. Guys would come up and say, hey, listen, watch him after a bad series. Or watch him how he'd go to the sideline, he'd be by himself, he'd get on his iPad, not getting any input from anyone else. Whereas opposed to Hurts, something goes wrong, a failed series, he's going to come off the field. He wants as much input as he can from everybody. He couldn't get enough input. What do you see that I'm not seeing? Whereas opposed to the other guy, who's always seemed to be like this, he doesn't want, nor maybe is he willing to accept any input from anyone else. And again, these things that were supposedly solved and these things that were addressed in 2019, again, began to fester and began to grow. Wentz, as this so-called hero and so-called beloved by the Philadelphia fan base, and we certainly know, Max, the Philadelphia fan base is as hard as it gets, suddenly turned on this guy. And they could not have gotten him out of here fast enough. I think you're dealing with someone from North Dakota State. He was dealing with a certain element there and certain types of players there that here he comes to a city like Philadelphia that does not exactly fall into everyone gets a trophy, type of
thing. Right. You got to perform. Joe Santoliquido, feature writer for the Philly Voice. And by the way, president of the Boxer Writers Association of America is joined me on the Goodyear hotline. Joe is the guy who broke the Wentz story in Philly that all was not right in Philly, that whatever face was being put on it, there were some problems with Wentz, and ran into some trouble in Philly because of that. But, Joe, I actually found your reporting on the story nuanced and not just fair, but actually kind to everyone involved. You never went away from Wentz is considered very smart. Wentz is considered tough. He wants to be great. He, you know, like all, you made sure to explain that in your reporting. And I think, do you think the sense is that he has at this point been kind of poisoned by the experience, or that he can be reclaimed? Like, it's an actual reclamation project that might work.
I believe it's a reclamation project that might work. Again, talking to current and former players that were on that team, they think he can be fixed. Fixed in Philadelphia? No. No. In terms of the fan base here, in terms of the players, he would suddenly... They simply just didn't want to follow him anymore, Max. I mean, he lost all leadership control, and he would have to work really, really hard to try to get that back. I'd like to think this destination's ideal for him. I think Indianapolis itself as a city is ideal for him. I think going back to a coddling coach, Frank Reich, is a bit ideal for him. He's back also with his pal Press Taylor, who was the Eagles' quote-unquote passing coordinator this past season. They also have to reestablish themselves, because when Press Taylor was here with Wentz, I'd had people literally telling me they'd never seen a dynamic before like that ever in their lives, where the player is coaching the coach. I'm like, what? He said, yeah. I mean, in terms of boundaries, where here, I'm the player, I'm on this side, there's that line in the sand, and Max, you're as old school as I am. Coach, you're on the other side. These guys here, it reaches a point in time. I mean, when the Belichicks of the world speak up, and different types of coaches like that speak up, you listen. Well, Belichick may be a bad example because he's obviously one of the greatest coaches that ever played that ever coached. But there's always that line drawn where I'm the coach. I'm not your friend. I'm here to turn around and direct you and point you in directions that you should be going. Apparently here in Philadelphia, that line seemed to be blurred between Press Taylor and Carson Wentz.
Joe.
Now here, Taylor and Wentz have reunited. Here's another thing that's really interesting, and the Colts are going to have to deal with this. When Carson Wentz was here with the Eagles and Mike Rowe was the OC, by the way, Mike Rowe now is the wide receivers coach for the Colts. Mm-hmm. And when he was the OC here with the Eagles, Wentz ran him over. Wentz bullied him. You know, Wentz had a certain way he wanted to do things. Grohl had a certain way he wanted to do things. And Wentz did not want to hear anything from anyone. That stubbornness is great on the field, but it reaches a point in time where that strength can be turned around. And it certainly was a weakness in terms of Carson Wentz trying to fit the old proverbial square peg to a round hole. So there's some things there that if I'm Frank Reich and Carson lands in Indianapolis, him and Press Taylor and Mike Rowe are going to have to sit down in the conference room. Hey, guys, let's get our grievances out. Let's talk about this, where we want to go, the direction we want to go.
Joe.
And whatever grievances you guys have, let's get it all out. Let's get on that same page and move forward.
We're up against it at the end of the segment. Joe, I appreciate you calling in and letting everybody know what has gone on from the Philadelphia point of view. Joe Santoloquito, feature writer for the Philly Voice, also president of the Boxing Writers Association of America, joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Appreciate the time, Joe. That is the perspective out of Philly by the guy who broke the story originally in the Philly Voice that all was not well in with the Eagles behind the scenes with Carson Wentz. We're going to hear from out of Indy. What are they saying in Indianapolis today? You got Carson Wentz. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So coming up, we'll take it from the Indianapolis point of view. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And my computer career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Carson Wentz is heading to the Colts, and we go live to Indianapolis next. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts.
Colts badly overpaid. Badly.
It's a good move for the Colts. I'm willing to go so far as to say they won this trade.
This is the perfect price that paid for Carson Wentz.
It is exactly what I think Wentz wanted. It is the best case scenario for him.
Carson Wentz now becomes a MVP caliber player in Indy.
Did I just hear Dan Orlovsky say he becomes an MVP caliber player in Indy? Dan and I are going to go another 12 or 15 rounds or whatever the expression is nowadays about this later in this week or maybe next week. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Axe Max is coming up in about 10 minutes. Give me a call now, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So you heard the Philly perspective from the guy who broke the story originally, that all was not well in paradise, right? That there were issues with Carson Wentz before everyone knew it. Joe Santoloquito of the Philly Voice. Let's hear someone from Indy now because they're the ones getting Carson Wentz. John Michael Vincent, JMV Afternoons on the Fan in Indy, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. John.
Max.
What's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Well, people are excited about it around here, that's for sure. I'm still a little bit skeptical, other than the simple fact that this team needed a quarterback. And, you know, Frank Reich has that relationship, you know, in the good times with Carson Wentz back in Philly. So that makes a lot of sense. And I thought, honestly, with the deal that they got out of this, that this was a situation that you couldn't pass up. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're kind of in that purgatory around here with this football team of not having a quarterback and putting a Band-Aid on a quarterback. They did that a year ago with Philip Rivers. It worked out to 11 wins and a playoff appearance. They thought he was going to be here for 2 years. He decided to go ahead and retire, so they needed yet again another quarterback. And they decided on Carson Wentz. I'll be honest with you, Max. You would know this better than I would. I've watched him and certainly heard all the negativity coming out of Philly. He looked like a broken dude to me this season, even beyond the injuries, even beyond everything that was going on there, just all the negativity coming out of Philly. So, to me, this is going to be a doozy of a fix for Frank Reich. But if it works out, people around here are going to view this move as genius.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking to John Michael Vincent out of Indy right now, JMV Afternoons on the Fan on the Goodyear Hotline. John, like, to me, it's an overpay. You have to take on a big contract, even if the cap is going up and whatever, and you're giving up a third this year. They couldn't even get a second-round pick this year. I get that. But a conditional second next year. So it's going to be at least a second-round pick. I don't know how it becomes a first-round pick. If you do, please illuminate me because I really don't understand how that's going to work. But at any rate, I understand it's a moonshot in the sense that there's huge upside because Wentz in 2017 was a great quarterback. He was excellent. But there's so much regression. Did Indy just not feel that they could get their hands on a better solution than Carson Wentz? Was this Frank Reich saying, no, I can fix this guy? Talking to Wentz maybe and taking his temperature to see how willing he was to work? You know, because it seems to me with a third and a second, you could actually draft a quarterback maybe.
Well, it's funny, Max, you bring that up because, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. I mean, his prior relationship and thinking, believing that he can return him to that level of greatness. But the options obviously were not there. I mean, we've talked around here about, you know, the possibility of Carson Wentz or Sam Darnold, and neither of those options around here really give me too much to scream about. But, you know, the evil part of this is the fact that you don't have a quarterback other than Jacob Eason. And with the team, it's really weird here because normally you have the quarterback that you draft and you build the team around the quarterback. But because of what Andrew Luck did a couple of years ago, they've had to try to place the quarterback around the team. And that's kind of backwards from what you normally see by standards of building a championship, you know, quote unquote, level team in the NFL. But yeah, it's that. And I think it is the price tag because we'll see. Ultimately, this is going to be a one next year. There's no doubt about it. And I know the Colts originally Philly wanted to go, I think, with 50% playing next year. But I think the Colts got up to 75%. And let's face it, if they don't meet that mark, it's going to be a disaster around here because you have an owner that's ready to win right now.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Colts. That's the thing about the Colts is I understand why you don't draft a guy because you're ready to win now. This is a team right. And the Quentin Nelson draft pick was as good as everyone thought it would be. When I think of the best interior offensive linemen, non-centers, best guards I've ever seen, maybe it's a recency bias, but I can't think of anyone I've seen better. It's like a force field around him when he's on the field. So you're going to protect Carson Wentz. You have weapons. You have a defense. You have a lot going on in Indianapolis, and they're ready to win now. The question is Carson Wentz an upgrade over Phillip Rivers?
Well, we'll have to see. I don't know. He didn't look like it last year. Now, did he? The problem with me, Max, with Rivers last year is we saw in that final offensive drive in Buffalo in the wild card weekend that he was unable any longer at his age to get a team on his shoulder and take it down the field. So you needed a stronger, certainly more mobile quarterback. Now, they got that. We just don't know, in a sense, his body, Max, looks okay. We just don't know where his head is right now. And that's essentially the biggest part of it. Right. I think that worries a lot of people here without question. But this is also – this is going to catapult the Colts, I think. I've heard some things about, you know, J.J. Watt, who has not been mentioned as far as the Colts are concerned. I know that a couple of people in that building over there like him. So we'll see if now they're going to become a part of this conversation. And – yeah, we'll see where they go in free agency. They do have some money to spend, fifth best as far as the cap situation is concerned. So the time is definitely now, and we'll see if Carson Wentz is going to legitimately be able to push them up to where both Frank Reich, Jim Irsay, and Chris Ballard believe he can.
John Michael Vincent, JMV in the afternoons, on the Fan and Indy, on the Goodyear Hotline. Thank you very much for joining me today. Give me the Indy perspective. Can Reich fix him for real? Obviously, he thinks he can, or they wouldn't be taking him. How much better is Wentz than Rivers? Well, he has more upside, that's for sure. What should the realistic expectations be? This is boom or bust. Either Indy's going to fix him, and they're going to be a real Super Bowl threat, or they're not going to, and it's a big bust because you got to give up a third and a second over a two-year period. That's real draft capital. Coming up next? I can't speak English today. Coming up next... Ax Max, 888-SAY-ESPN, The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I haven't forgotten about the Nets and the Lakers. We're going to go to get to that in 20 minutes. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. But there is breaking news. Today, what are your thoughts on the Wentz trade? A third-round pick this year, a conditional second that could be a first. Next year, Ax Max coming up. Want to get to your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Ax Max.
Matt in Iowa, what you got to say?
Well, if they're getting rid of Wentz, why'd they let go of Peterson?
Yeah.
He was a Super Bowl coach.
I agree. On the surface, it doesn't make sense. I if you were going to keep anybody in the Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz trio, I think there was a good argument to just clean house, get rid of them. If you're going to keep anyone, you should have kept Peterson. But they got rid of the coach and the quarterback, and the GM, who's kind of more responsible for the mess than either the coach or the quarterback, is still there. Go figure. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, to your point yesterday about Batman and Robin, from 1969-70 to 1978-79, 10 years, the most dominant player in basketball, dominant, more than Michael, more than LeBron, more than Shaq, was Lou Alcindor / Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, he wasn't more dominant than Michael Jordan. That's incorrect. But he was extremely dominant. But Michael Jordan at his peak was more dominant even than Jabbar. He averaged more points in a league where it was difficult to average those points as a guard, who was also a great defensive player. I don't know. But Kareem was the all-time greatest college player. Potentially athlete or most dominant college athlete ever in his sport. You could only play 3 years back then. He played 3 years, won three national championships, three players of the year, player of the year awards, and almost never lost a single game, like a couple of games in his entire career. Then he turned pro, won six championships in the pros. Yeah, Kareem's up there. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're doing Ax Max right now. And in 20 minutes, Kendrick Perkins drops by to preview the Nets and the Lakers. Matt in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, I was wondering what you thought about the Steelers situation with Haskins coming in and looking like Ben being on his way out. Thanks, man. Love your show.
Thanks, brother. Well, Ben Roethlisberger is still competent, but I don't think the Steelers are looking for competent. I think they're looking for a guy who can win a Super Bowl. I don't know if Haskins is that guy. I had high hopes for him once upon a time, but I don't know. I've heard things that Haskins has to decide, is he trying to be a great player or not? And he has disappointed so far in his career. Now, that Steelers line ain't going to do him any favors. That Steelers line, I mean, the reason Ben Roethlisberger had to change the style of quarterback he played is because they can't pass protect and they can't run block. That's a bad combination. But the Steelers have not done a good enough job. Well, is it Mason Rudolph? Is it this one or that one? They haven't done a good enough job identifying the heir apparent. You know, those guys aren't growing on trees, but you got to find someone. And in the meantime, if Roethlisberger wanted to come back on a team-friendly deal as a stopgap for a year so you could at least be competitive, I understand. Ken in Alberta, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. When is the value of Deshaun Watson in a trade the greatest? Like, is it today? Or is it one day past the draft? Or
no, I think,
is it one day past the start of training camp?
I think it's before the draft, because that's when everyone's trying to get their ducks in a row. And I think if Matthew Stafford gets you Jared Goff and his bad contract, but also two firsts, and then they also get a third for that, I'm already forgetting. At any rate, Deshaun Watson, the bidding should start at three firsts. And I think right now what Deshaun needs to find out is, do the Texans really like Tua still? Or do they think Deshaun's a real upgrade? Because if Miami would trade Tua and their number three pick and the 18th pick, and maybe their second-round picks this year, or at least their first-round pick next year, no one's going to have a better deal than that. And then Deshaun could wind up in Miami, which I would think would be his preference if I was Deshaun. No state income tax, glamorous destination, excellent team, on the rise. You know, usually if someone trades you all that, you're going to a team not that good, right? In a rebuild, like the Jets. No, Miami's not in a rebuild. So that's really what you have to figure out. But I think his trade value is highest before the draft. Coming up, Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins on Nets, Lakers, and more. Carson Wentz to Indy. It's the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.